Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, ordained minister, and good all-around girl, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Hello and welcome everybody to Nightlight. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiethawk inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the light workers, and you answer that call from all walks of life and from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities. From all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose. Keep losing my place here, too many cats, I guess. Into a common purpose, a united family once again. We go by different titles, watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querens, journeyers and journeymen, seekers, star children, philosophers, light workers and light bearers, and the list, well, it goes on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we, yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all in our very own unique ways bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil that we call creation, and I invite you to come in and share it with me. Kind of take a break from whatever is going on outside. Sit back. Put your feet up. Share your lights with us and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with I think Deb today. Jeannie's out with some sort of flu bug, and Deb isn't quite here yet, so when she does turn up, she'll be doing the screening. We're going to share our energies with yours and hopefully brighten all of our own personal lights. We're going to be doing readings shortly, and if you'd like to call in for one, the number is 347-857-2139. You'll get screened, and then happily you'll be brought up onto the air. Oops. Sorry, cats all over the place here. Ken Quiethawk can be found at www.nativestorytellers.com if you want to experience more of that amazing voice. I'm at barbaradelong.com. And Jen, well, I'm pretty sure she's got a, she doesn't have a website yet, probably, but she promises that she's going to get one. Let me see if I can find her in the queue. Hold on, I'll ask her. Okay, Jen, so do you have a website yet?
I am working on one rapidly. I knew you were going to ask that, and I have I've got a bit of a red face, but not too red, because I'm working on it and diligently, and I've got a couple of people that are willing to help me, and as we speak, I'm laughing because I'm laughing.
Are you trying to multitask as well?
I am. I was just outside. I've had a couple of things happen today that are just so strange. And I hope someone can help me. I don't know who likes peanut butter. I absolutely detest it.
I love peanut butter.
Oh, I'm so glad you do. I've had peanut butter engulfing me today. Just slide over, around me, through me. And I just do not like it. And I said to my daughter, who is peanut butter? Like,
that would be me. That would be me.
That would be you. Thank you, Barbara.
I mean, I slather it on everything that doesn't move.
Oh, I tell you, my eyes are watering with it now. Well, holy smokes. I know you have strong energy, but now I know who peanut butter is, and
It's healthy for you. It's a good food. It's good protein.
I'm glad you like it. I didn't mind the smell of it until I was pregnant with my third child, and my daughter had come up to kiss me. She was maybe 2 years old, came up to kiss me goodbye because I was leaving for work. And I guess my husband took one look at my face and he said, get away from your mom quick. And it was that morning sickness look on my face. And I haven't been able to stand the smell of peanut butter since. And boy, I was sitting there today and it was just powerful, powerful.
Wow.
And so I will be getting that website done.
If not, you'll be hunted by peanut butter, haunted by peanut butter.
Hunted, haunted, whatever.
Oh, good. Well, I am waiting for that yellow thing to come out. I forget what they call it, but, you know, I do remember a yellow thing that used to hang in the sky. I haven't seen it in a very long time.
Oh, a banner. A banner.
No, I think they call it the sun.
Oh, the sun. Oh. We've got a bit of sun today, a tiny, which is so nice to see. It's lovely. Ah.
I finished planting my berry patches. I decided to turn my vegetable gardens that all I did was bring things into flower from and didn't eat much out of it. I turned them, they're two beds, 5 feet by 24 feet each. And I planted them for a couple of years and found out that, you know, you have to eat this stuff or it goes bad. You can't let it just sit for weeks and months. And I did find that the artichoke flower is, I think, the prettiest of all of them. But instead of going through a whole another season of, you know, nurturing everything to the point where it should be eaten and then everything has to be eaten all at once, to just put berry patches in, they're perennial, they'll come back year after year, and all I have to do is pick berries and prune. So that's the way we're going here.
Oh.
But since I planted them, the sun hasn't been out, so.
Well, do you have the same kind of weather systems there that we do here, do you think?
Well, no, you're mostly, don't you have a lot of rain and stuff?
Well, we're sort of in the banana belt, they tell us.
Oh, okay. Actually, you know, I've been in this house for 10 years, and there have never been two seasons, let alone summers, where the weather has been consistent. So it's basically until our weather patterns settle down again, so that you really know, you know, especially when spring is. I mean, there's still snow around here. I mean, it's in the piles, but I'm planting stuff, and my pussy willows are finally beginning to be pussycats. And that's usually my signal that spring is here, when the pussy willows start to, you know, show their little silver coats there. But go ahead.
No, our pussy willows are out. They're pretty much all fluffed and done. The pollens are really coming out. Things are starting to bloom. We live on top of a mountain. We're about a month behind most people on the coast here. So Victoria's a good month ahead of us with the blossoms and the blooms. And so we're colder.
We've got pollen here. Everybody is sick from the pollen. There is a bug going around that attacks your sinuses and then takes your energy away from you for 3 or 4 months. And it's an amazing bug. So and happily, I came down with it. Probably I'm not a carrier, but I came down with it before everybody else did. So in a way, I'm very relieved to see other people suffering from what I'm suffering from. I, you know, was afraid that this was just age creeping up on me, and apparently, no, it's just a flu bug, and it will go away eventually. So I am very, very grateful for that. I understand that you're going to be doing another radio show this week.
I am. I'm most excited. I'm going to be working with Chris.
Uh-huh.
In Curious Times, and yeah. I'm most excited.
You will definitely enjoy working with her. She is really a lot of fun.
So I've got to do a couple of things before I do that. If I'm not, this last couple of days has been just rush, and I don't know why I've been that way. It just is the way the universe works, and that's okay. It's all good. I'm certainly not going to quibble or moan or complain or pule about it. It's always exciting, and I'm just really looking forward to it. So
yeah. Would help if you got a website up too, Jen.
I know. I know. Like I said, I'm going to be hitting a couple of people up, and I've thought of what to do in the banner across mm-hmm. the top to do. And I think the hardest part is talking about myself. So,
you know, I have always, when I first, decades ago, asked if I had a friend of mine that did websites, and I asked her, you know, if she wasn't overwhelmed to do a website for me, and my thought was a single page saying, "Hi, I'm Barbara, and here's my information." And she said, sure, they'd be happy to do one for me. They, you know, and a year later, I said to her, you know, it was pretty simple. I where's the website? And she said, you have to write it. And I said, oh, no. And she said, yeah, you have to write it. And I said, look, I have a ton of bios. Here's two or three of them. You do something and then put it up. And so she did a masterful job. And I have to admit that as far as technique went, it was very well done. I wouldn't have given myself the time of day, nor would I have gone to a website, you know, after reading it. And I rolled my sleeves up and I said, okay, so maybe the best thing to do is to just talk it. And it was really, you know, I didn't actually just talk it, but I wrote it out as if I was talking it to someone, just saying, well, this is what I've done. And I paid no attention to, you know, all of the rules about this is the information you should give and all of that. I just told people about me in a very, you know, simple and straightforward way. And so I rewrote it, and then I said to her, okay, now when will it be up? And she said, well, you have to put stuff on it. And it was like, oh, my God, I have to write more? And so the website that's out there today is the result of my friend who kept pushing me, saying, come on, there's more, you do other things, there's more interesting stuff you can put up. And so the website today is really an evolution of my just wanting a simple page to one that is really very, very big. And, it impresses me. To heck with what anybody else thinks. I look at it and think, it's amazing. It is me. And anyone who reads their way all the way through it will know me, because that's my voice. So it's a very painful process. But if you want help, and if you have some bios and if you have some ideas as to what you want to say about yourself, I'd be real happy to channel you doing your own bio.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you. That is my hardest part, because I did have someone that was willing to help, and it sort of just, life happened and it didn't happen. And it's hard talking about me. I could talk about other people and say, what they did and how great they were and all of that. But about me? Eek.
Well, send me your information. I'll see if I can find your voice and write it in your voice.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
No sweat, no problem. It is kind of fun, but I think humility is one of the best aspects to most of us, and most of us don't like to talk about ourselves. Chris does beautiful intros to people, and what's amazing is that you listen to her intro to you and you get embarrassed because it's so good, and I have her down too. She's not just a pretty face, and here she is, make your own mind up. And I like that. it gets scary when people list all the wonderful things you've done and that you are, and then you wonder, can I ever live up to that? I'd rather just have somebody say, here she is, make up your own mind. but I realize that as a host, she feels she has to, and she does beautiful intros. Absolutely beautiful intros, but they're so pretty, they're embarrassing. So before we get going, there are some shows that I want to kind of alert people to, because with Blog Talk used to be so much easier to understand about where shows were and when they were on, and for show hosts especially, it was great, because it let you know where you didn't want to put your show, so you split an audience or were in competition with somebody that you liked. That isn't the way it is now. I'm sure there's wonderful reasons for the way they're organizing it, but there are some amazing shows that I want to put out there so that people know where to find them. And Chris's is one of them. Chris does her Curious Times every single day of the week, of the month, of the year. She is relentless in getting information out there and sharing new people and new concepts and all sorts of wonderful stuff. She is amazing. And how she does it, I don't know, because I would be exhausted if I had to do it. And she does a three-hour show, not just a two-hour show. She does 2 hours on the air and then an hour in overtime. Hers is on every night from 10 to 12 Eastern Time. Visionary Times, of which I do several of them with Bear and Anne Rose, is on Wednesdays and Fridays from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern. And then a special favorite of mine is Hawk's Nest. That would be Ken Quiet Hawk. He has a show on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's addictive. Be very careful. Don't go there if you have the slightest inclination towards addiction. He plays all of the old radio shows and the old music, and you actually can hear the words and know the words and hear the story. It's an amazing show. It's kind of, it took me back to my childhood, and every time I listen to it, I remember, you know, gosh, the Lipton noodle soup my mother used to give me when I was listening to half those shows, and it's a wonderful journey into the past, and it's so nice with all that's going on today and all of the, you know, all of the trauma and all of the tragedies and everything else to be taken back to a time that truly was more simple. And it's an enjoyable hour. And his wonderful partner, New Moon Rising, has her shows on, and her show is on Tuesdays as well at 1 p.m. Eastern, and that's On My Mind with Mama Moon. And again, they are both storytellers. They're native storytellers. And first of all, their voices are spectacular. And second of all, they have so much to say. And, you know, today people listen to little sound clips, and these people have stories to tell and messages woven into them, and it is such a joy and a pleasure to listen to them. I encourage everybody to tune into them. And then, of course, there's me. And I have another show tomorrow night from 8 to 10, and Cynthia Jordan will be on with me. And for those of you who, a number of years ago, she did many of my shows. And she is, of course, an author, and she's a musician, and she's a singer, and she writes music, and she tours the country, and she got an Emmy nomination for her song, Jose Cuervo, You Are a Friend of Mine. But above and beyond all of that, she will take your birthday and weave it into music and give you your spirit song right on the air. And let me tell you, that is the, and it's two hands. It's not just plunk, plunk. It's a symphony, and it does touch your soul. And you know, that's something you kind of maybe want to tune into. Jen, you'd love it. And then on Wednesday, I'll be back here, regular time, 4 to 6, with James Luce. So, that said, that's all my business. I have nothing else to say except, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Are you taking notes?
I was taking notes. I'm trying to absorb it all. This is just incredible.
No, you know, it's funny because I have, you know, kind of hopped around on Blog Talk trying to find other shows that spoke to me. There are lots and lots of shows, and they're all in their own way very good. It's just that, you know, ones that talk to me, and when I find them, I just absolutely, you know, want to get the word out there, because Blog Talk is huge. You get lost in that menu trying to find something that touches you, that has the kind of, for want of a better word, quality information coming out of it. And, you know, you never know what you're going to get on Chris's show, but you know, first of all, it's going to be full of laughter and love and light. And, I mean, she every now and then slips something in that is even, she's had a couple of people on that I wasn't quite sure what they were saying, but it sounded very impressive. So you ever been in an audience like that where you knew somebody was talking and saying something, you know, very profound, and you were sure you were supposed to be impressed, but you didn't understand a word they were saying?
Actually, yes. And you catch yourself, or even talking with them, and you think, wow, now I'm going to have to go back and ruminate on all of this.
Yes.
Because I know there's something there. And I have to really think about this, because I know I'm going to have missed something, and it's almost as if you want to record it. Well,
yeah.
On Blog Talk, you can go back and listen to it, but when you're sitting there speaking with them, it's like, wow, I know I've just missed something.
Yeah. I had a class like that in college in my last semester. I had to take a class on, it had to do with the English language and the diphthongs and everything. And I made every class, I listened attentively, I took copious notes. I never understood a thing the man said. And when we got to the final, I wrote at the, bottom of my page, not being able to answer anything. You know, I just need this class for graduation. I swear to you, I'll never try to write a professional novel in my life. Just squeeze me through so I can graduate. And he did. I mean, it was like I had a mental block. And you know, it made no sense to me. So, and it was like I was in a foreign country. It was the weirdest thing I have ever experienced. And, you know, he gave me a C, actually. And I thought, you know, well, maybe he was really speaking gibberish. And, you know, maybe that was the whole point of it, you know.
Well, that makes me laugh. My daughter was speaking biology 12 or something. She thought she needed it. And I kept saying to her, you'll do well. You'll do well. And she picked it up after she graduated. And she was going to the local college or university to take it. And I kept saying, oh, you'll do well. You'll do well. And she said, Mom, I'm really not doing well. And I said, no, you'll do well. And she said, you don't understand. She said, this kid from Columbia is, he doesn't speak English and he's doing better than I am. I said, oh, no. I said, you'll do well. I said, you're just thinking you can't. You'll do well. And so, I never told her I dropped out of biology 12. I got like 12% or 25%, 12%, and then 4%. And I wasn't going to tell her that because I thought she doesn't need to know this. She'll do well. If I keep saying it loud enough and long enough, she'd really believe that she could do well in biology. So I came home one night, and I found this long note on the table. I hope you aren't disappointed in me, but I'm dropping out of biology 12 because it's really all Greek to me. And the kid from Columbia, who doesn't speak English, is passing with like 67%, and I really don't understand that. And I'll never need it in my life.
Well, yeah, and you know that's something that I that sort of puzzles me slightly. And you know, I have a college and a couple of masters and stuff like that, but I can honestly say that with all of the education that I have under my belt, the only thing I ever have really been able to use effectively and even, you know, financially effectively in life has been the 3 years I did of mechanical drawing. That's it. And that was high school. So
I think we're led to take what we're supposed to take, and all of these are learning experiences. We've got a guest in the chat room that says, are they taking calls today? They're wasting time talking about absolutely nothing.
I would love to know where she is in the queue. Yes, we are taking calls. But
I'm sorry the guest absolutely feels like that. I'm, you know.
Well, you know, if everybody has their own needs and everybody has their own wants, and happily, because it's my show, if I feel it's appropriate to talk to you for half an hour or an hour, that's exactly what we're going to do. I do want them to understand where you're coming from, and I don't mean geographically. You've been doing this work for a long time, and you are an amazing medium and an intuitive. And you know, I am beginning to sort of shy away from the term psychic and going to intuitive rather, because it feels better to me. I feel that an intuitive person is somebody that is using their intuition, certainly, and is guided by their spirit, but is bringing information subtly and softly into a person's reality so that they can deal with it or not as is appropriate for them. And so how long have you been doing this work?
How long have I been doing it? I've been doing it since I was about 3 years old. I think I've explained that to other people. When I first started doing the shows with you, I realized that I saw and understood spirit since I was three, walked away from it, or tried to walk away from it for a brief period of time. But as most of us know that do work with it, it is spirit and working with it doesn't let us. It says, no, you're going to come back. We need you. You're not happy. You're not fulfilled. You know, come on, come on. This is the way you're going to take. And so that's what we do. And, you know, we're always put back into our path, whether it is by design or destiny or, I don't know, fate, whatever. My way was working a high-powered job, loving every darn minute of it. I was always had the idea that I would never be a great at-home mom. You know, I always felt and still feel in a lot of ways my husband was and is a better at-home parent than I am, because I'm such a pushover. And he's a good disciplinarian and a good fair person, but I was told by a series of car accidents that I was to stay at home, and my youngest needed a stay-at-home parent, and that was my job, and I see that, and that's what I do, or did at the time. And it was a chance for me to explore my spirituality again, my intuitiveness again, my psychic gifts or my mediumship. And that is what I did and I do. And I'm extremely thankful for it, although it took me a while to get to that part, because of course we grieve what we feel we have lost by going out and earning a living, which is what I did since I was 7 years old. I'd always earned my own money by doing something, and we put that as part of our persona, that we are worth something by earning the dollars and cents. And it took me a while to do that.
You know, every one of us has our own pathway. And when spirit wants you in the field, and you don't exactly, you know, go with the subtleties that they give you, they do. My term is they hit you with a 2x4. And, you know, this is where we want you. This is the work you need to do. This is where you'll find joy and excitement and all sorts of other stuff. And so, it's interesting to listen to all of the different stories, and almost all of them, Jen, are very much the same. We had great jobs, and spirit moved us, and sort of showed us the error of our ways, and here you are without a website. But aside from that, it'll come.
I know.
Okay, we've got Camille on the line. We're going to start doing some readings here. Hi, Camille. How are you today?
Oh, yes. I'm very good. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, pleasure. Camille. How can we help today?
All right. So I don't remember your policy on this show. I know on Chris's, she is not a fan of relationship questions. But could I ask something about someone on this show or no?
Is it with you or... someone else?
I mean, yes, you can ask about a relationship, absolutely.
Well, it's more of a friendship, but it's someone, his name is Prospero, and he is a neighbor, and I've known him for a number of years. And my question is, will our friendship progress to something more?
Okay, that's a fair question. Of course, you know, we can't read him, because that's unethical. But we can certainly read your relationship with him. I really think that that friendship, first of all, is very, very important. It does appear there is a friendship here. And will it lead to more? I think if you don't push, if you're patient, if you allow things to progress naturally and easily, I do believe that there is a good potential, there's good potential here for a relationship. But do understand that that should not be your only focus in your life. You need to make sure that everything else is functioning, that you're being creative, that you're working on yourself and all the other stuff. Jen, what are you getting?
I'm getting that, you know, he's going to come over for a coffee meal and maybe something more. Don't rely too heavily, perhaps, on, you know, keeping him forever, because, you know, he may not be a forever kind of guy. You know, has he been in a relationship before?
Has he?
Yes.
Oh, since I've known him, we have both been single, but, you know, dating, and we even tried something, and it just, the timing was off a couple of years ago. But I don't know about him ever having, oh, yes, he did. Never mind. I totally forgot. He was engaged to someone for a while. Never mind.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd give him a lot of rope. I'd give him a lot of rope and see, you know, see where it goes. I wouldn't be in any real rush, because I have a feeling, honestly, that there's going to be something around the corner for you. I'm showing that there's, you know, if you look around the corner, there's going to be something around the corner. Do you understand what I mean about that? Like, there's a street, and you live on a street, and you walk around the corner, and you're going to bump into someone.
Okay.
So there's someone just around the corner for you. You can, you know, have a meal and something, maybe a little bit more with this guy, have a bit of dessert or whatever you want to call it, but there's someone waiting around the corner for you.
Great. Yeah, I mean, I'm not in any sort of hurry. I'm just, you know, out of curiosity more than anything.
Yeah.
Well, you've got friendship, and that's really important. You know, friendship is the foundation. So, and sometimes they're better friends than they are lovers.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm not in any rush. I'm just, you know, curious. We've crossed paths again, so, you know, that's it. Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. Okay, we've got Anna here. Hi, Anna. How's it going today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you. How can we help?
Good. So my ex and I have been broken up, and we've gone off and on. I struggle with, you know, trying to forgive him and trying to be his friend, and then, you know, he kind of does this thing where he still wants to be with me but hasn't really put in the effort. And basically, I've been trying to move on with my life, and he recently, this weekend, kind of pops back up into my picture, and I was a little disappointed from some things that I found. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, I'm really trying to move on with my life, but I feel like he's still, like, a part of it, and I'm just wondering what you see around the situation and coming up for me as far as relationships, because I really do want to move on.
Yeah, I would say moving on is probably the best thing in the world that you could do for yourself. I don't feel that he is going to be doing any major changing or anything like that, and the history you've got with him is enough so that there will always be doubt in your mind, so that the element of trust is not here. So I would definitely say move on, as is best for you. I'm usually very opposed to saying slam a door and walk away and don't look back, but if that's the only way you can do it, then that I think would be a good idea, because no one else can come into your life while you still have this connection. It's sort of like you still have the umbilical to him. You know, you have become a better person because of him. You birthed a better part of yourself. But you're still attached. You haven't let go yet. And until you let go, nobody else comes in. There are certainly other people here, but they don't stand a chance if he's still a part of your life. So, Jen, what are you getting?
I'm getting the same thing, actually. What I see with you and him is that there's a lot of turmoil with him, like there's a vortex or a little dust tunnel. You know, and I get the song Dust in the Wind, you know, all these dust in the wind. Like, really, really, kick this guy to the curb. I'm serious. And I'm usually not so blunt or nasty. Kick him to the curb. You don't need him. Don't need him. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and get on with life. Because you know what? You're a great person. You've got some really great qualities. And you don't need him. I get the number 2 and the number 3 for you in 2 separate numbers. It isn't like 23 or together to make 5, although it could. But I get the number 2, like 2. And I also get the number 3, like 3 months. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I guess I've been alone. Like, I've really been trying to stay away from him. I've been alone now for a few months, and I've really been working on myself and trying to manifest, you know, the right person in my life. And he's been popping in and out, and I'm getting really frustrated. And this recent interaction, I got really disappointed that I know I'm a good person, and this person just totally doesn't appreciate me, you know. And
so let me ask you something then. Why do you feel sorry for him and go back?
I feel sorry because he does things and says things that that would call for someone's pity. And I miss you, and I want, you know, to do this and that. I just sit around the house waiting for you. Meanwhile, I find, you know, like condoms and things, and then I'm just like, you know, it's really hurtful. You know, to be lied to, and I'm just, as another human, one human being to another, I'm really upset. You know, it's not so much about him anymore, because I really want to find a better man for me. I'm just like,
well,
why is this? You know,
it's do you have dogs? Have you ever had a dog?
Yes.
Do you know how they mark their territory?
Yes.
They pee on it. Basically, every time he thinks you're wandering around, he pees on you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I would take a shower and move on.
Okay.
Yeah, I pulled a card for you, and I said the number 3, and the number 3 of air card comes up, and it says, great sadness. Take time to heal. The need to forgive yourself or others. Forgive yourself. I don't know why, and it goes right with what Barb was saying. Why are you doing this to yourself? Don't know. Doesn't matter. Don't know. Just, you know, you are a wonderful person. You've got great qualities. We could sit here and, you know, enumerate them. And, you know, you've got this shining light within you that just brings goodness to you. And this guy's just trying to dim it.
Yeah.
Seriously, Anna. So, like, let your light shine.
Mm-hmm.
Put up this light whenever you think he's going to be around you. Shine it. Shine it. Shine it. And say, no, thank you. I don't want your stuff. I don't want your drama. And go on without him. Forgive him for what he's done to himself. Because he's just hurt himself.
Yeah.
Seriously. And you're going to be fine. You're going to be as right as rain.
Okay.
And you're going to go on, and you're going to succeed.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you very
much.
Anna. Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay. We got, and we all do that to ourselves one time or another.
Oh, don't we just? Oh.
Yes. We can sit and, you know, sit over a cup of tea and, you know, look back and go, my, look what I did over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't really look like we're repeating ourselves until we get the the distance and the perspective, and then it's like, holy crap, I did that again. Amazing.
I know. I know. And I think it's something we all have to learn, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I would say so. And, you know, being alone, you know, I have to say, being alone is not the worst thing in the world. As a matter of fact, there are some very good points to it. Being alone is, you know, it can be very comforting. It can be very rewarding. Being alone allows you to be the person that you think you should become. I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying being in a relationship is not a good thing. It's a wonderful thing if you're with the right person. I had 3 fabulous years with my husband, much better than 20 bad ones with somebody else. And I've had the bad years with someone else to know the difference. So, you know, alone is not bad. Alone gives you time to really make the changes in yourself that you want to make so that the next relationship is different and is better and is more harmonious and more balanced. You don't get the perspective if you go person to person to person to person. You're more likely going to the same person just in a different coat. And you want to make those changes. So being alone and taking, you know, they say when somebody passes away to give it at least a year before you, you know, make any major choices or decisions or whatever. Well, when a relationship dies, I think it's due the same morning, because frankly, when a relationship goes sour or dies, there is a death because your dreams have been killed. So that there is a time of mourning that is very appropriate, and a time of, you know, checking yourself out and just how you could have done better, and not nobody's perfect. And if a relationship ends, it's because both people have contributed to whatever made the ending happen. And you know, sometimes, you know, you don't stand up for yourself. Sometimes you don't tell another person exactly how you feel or what you expect. I mean, there are lots of things. And nobody's really at fault. It's just that it didn't fit. And if you know it doesn't fit and you move on, then that's fine. But if you keep trying to, you know, cram a square peg into a round hole, all you're going to do is get, you know, frayed edges and a lot of wood chips, and you're not going to get a piece fitting into the puzzle well. So, you know, you can try all you like, it just doesn't work. But, you know, that's my philosophy, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, I quite agree with you. Actually, I wrote some of that down because I really like the way you phrased that, and it makes so much sense. And, you know, I believe that people that are really comfortable with their own company are really well-rounded. I have a couple of really good friends that are so comfortable with their own company. They're married. A couple of them might not be, or they're in relationships, but they're so comfortable with their own company that they don't need someone around. And I think that that is just wonderful. They don't have to have a lot of friends. They don't have to go out and be busy. They just love being by themselves. They love their own company. I think it's a wonderful way to be.
Well, and you know, before I met Patrick, I was alone for 13 years, and I could remember standing out in my garden and looking around at everything that I had, you know, planted and grown and nurtured, and that's when the sun used to come out, and I remember looking around and saying, you know what, if this is it for the rest of my life, I am so content and blissful. It's amazing. Thank you for this gift. And I think when we get to that point within ourselves, the universe sends us somebody that is appropriate, that harmonizes with our energy, that shows us that if you wait long enough and you work hard enough, that somebody comes into your life that just fits as though they were made for you. And it's magical. So, you know, people that have been alone for 18 years or 14 years or 13 years, you know, don't think that's the end, because, you know, the minute I said, I am so content, this is so cool, I really almost heard a click in the universe saying, oh, crap, she's much too content. We're going to have to send somebody into her life to shake things up a little bit. And it, within a couple of months, there he was. So, and you, but the only thing is, you can't BS the universe. You have to truly mean it. And if you truly mean it, then somebody does come into your life if you have charted that. And it can be absolutely spectacular. I highly encourage people to learn to embrace the alone time, because, among other things, you have full control of the remote control and the thermostat, which are pretty cool things to have, you know, control over. So it can be such a joyful experience. And if you are alone and haven't found that joy yet, I would say keep looking for it, because when you find it, it is magical. It is truly magical. Okay, we've got Gabby. Hi, Gabby. How are you doing today?
Hi, Barbara. Talk about, offenders repeating the same thing, because that's exactly why I'm calling. Everything you have spoken about, I feel related to today. And I also want to say about, you know, Chris's show, that it's through her that I met you, and that she has introduced us to so many wonderful people. I wish I could stay up that late, but I always have to put the kids to bed. Otherwise, I would go hang out, and that crowd is wonderful.
Well, I am calling.
Yes, it is. I have just agreed to something at a court conference, and I had this distinct feeling that I had made the same mistake before. And it's taken a few days to realize what I've done, because I've done this before. I sort of allowed the situation to push me around, and I'm considering, you know, this week going and just changing my counsel, changing my lawyer, and, you know, doing things the way I wanted them to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's not the result, the end result that I should be after, but more that, you know, I let the situation sort of envelop me and take me to places that I don't want to go. So this was still related about, you know, doing this degree and going somewhere. And when I phoned you last, you said, oh, you haven't planned properly. And I realized that, you know, now I'm realizing that this is what happened. You know, I knew I had the wrong lawyer. I knew I was in the wrong situation, and I didn't fix it. And when it came time to make this decision, I wasn't with the right person. You know, you need someone who's going to defend you, speak up for you. That's why you have lawyers.
Yeah, that's
so,
what they're supposed to do. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I saw this way ahead, and I didn't do anything. So,
are you able to step back and kind of do a do-over?
Well, this is what I'm going tomorrow. I'm going to go to Legal Aid and ask, can I change counsel? Because I know I initialized an agreement that now I realize it's wrong. So, because he was willing and dealing in the corridors of the courthouse, you know, 5 minutes before we did this, and then he pushed me into these corners, I think I have a case to say, you know, this was not agreed in advance, and I can't say yes to this now.
Wow.
So,
if you have signed something in court, I'm not sure that you can do this.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
But You didn't sign anything, or did you?
Well, it was an initial on it was initializing something that then has to be discussed in detail.
All right, so if you have a discussion, then you can probably change counsel.
Yeah.
You know, I just get the feeling that, gosh, it feels like you should start all over again. This is terrible.
Yes, I know. I know. That's exactly how it feels, that, you know, I was so anxious to go and do this degree and go and do it that I agreed with, you know, the father to stay with the children and do all these things that, you know, we were in court for something else, and we just shoved it under a carpet, and as soon as my kids started going there, they come back all sick and they were neglected, and it's all back, and I'm saying, you know, how am I going to go three times a year over there, and this situation hasn't changed. So it doesn't matter what I do, you know, it's not about the degree. I have agreed to something that is wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to have to give Jen just a little more information. I think you'll be able to get another counsel, but give Jen a little more information so she can give you her insight, because you've been very vague.
Yeah.
I hear her shaking her head.
I've been in court with the father's children for like almost 8 years now.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm getting. Just a sec, okay? Really quick here. I'm getting that there's sun on the horizon.
Yeah.
Okay? And that there is an elephant, a white elephant in the room.
Yes.
Okay?
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. Is what I'm getting. That the initialized agreement is that you're acknowledging something.
Yeah.
That you've acknowledged something, but you were also coerced.
Yes, exactly.
I was
coerced. Yeah.
And I smell an electric... Just a sec. That there's...
Yeah.
I smell electricity, electrical burning.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is? Like when an extension cord or there's electricity burning.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I'm smelling that. So I don't think it's in your court. I think it's in the husband's or the ex-husband's or father's apartment. So there's something burning there.
Okay.
So there has to be a house check at that place.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you're going to go about asking for that, but if it's for child safety, tell
them. Well, the house is under repair and it's a mess. I lived with him and he repaired and renovated three different houses, and he would leave the windows he was about to change in the middle of the living room, and one of the children almost like had to have stitches because he fell on the glass. Like, he is so neglectful that way.
Then why
so I wouldn't be surprised.
House checker get the children and family service in.
Yeah, well, he's about to, you know, institute a visitation, and the room where they're going to sleep is not even done. There's so many things that are wrong, you know, and it doesn't matter. Like, I realize that this is about me not stepping up to the plate and not standing up for myself. Not about the degree, not about anything else. I'm doing this. I've done this before.
Well, I don't get any of that. I'm just telling you what I've seen.
Okay.
Or what I'm receiving.
Okay.
And I don't get any of that about you. I'm sorry. I don't see anything. I don't see anything about you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that's good. That's good to know.
So, I can't discuss legal matters. I'm not an attorney.
Not
a notary public.
No, it's just a decision about leaving the children behind in the house, what you're seeing, that it's not safe. And that's what I am seeing.
Then go and get it done. Yeah. It's about the kids.
Yeah, that's exactly what I am seeing. It's not I will be able to do this. It's that I'm seeing danger there, and it's wrong to leave, regardless, you know.
So just go tomorrow or whenever you...
Yes, I am going tomorrow. I just wanted confirmation from you, and you see the smell, you see the smoke. I feel like I have signed something that is completely wrong, and you see the smoke. So in my intuition sort of matches yours. So it's perfect.
I do see sun on the horizon way down.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
first we have to deal with the burning cable. And I will deal with that. Wonderful. Thank you so much. I feel so much better.
Okay, Gabby, thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you, Barbara. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's scary.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants their kids to be in danger, or any child to be in danger.
No, no, and, you know, it's when you don't have control over your children, I mean, I'm not saying that they misbehave, but when you aren't the authority over them, it can be terrifying. And, you know, she has I don't feel that the children are going to be harmed, but I do feel they are in danger. So,
well, that's the thing. And
but I'm pretty sure that she will raise enough of a ruckus so that I'm sure she's going to get somebody in there.
You know, I didn't even think to ask how old the kids are. But kids are going to do what kids will do. It doesn't matter how old they are. You can tell them. And I speak from experience. That is hot. Do not touch it. That is hot. Do not touch it. You can put barricades up and do whatever, and if they want at it, they're going to do it. They are going to do it, and they have. Some kids have to learn the hard way. I mean, and it hurts you to no end.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
No, I was very fortunate with my son. He believed everything I said, so that, you know, I didn't have to see him get hurt or whatever, but you know, I in teaching school, I had a lot of kids that, you know, they had to actually, you know, stick their hand in and get it burned or feel something or lick the flagpole in the middle of winter and get their tongue frozen to it. I saw that happen once, and oh my God, there's just no way I would ever lick a flagpole.
I did the doorknob twice or three times because I was told it wouldn't stick again. Like,
and who told you that?
Stick again. Okay, mine. I was little though. I mean, you're what, 3 years old, or whatever. And no, it won't stick. Okay, why? No, it will. No, it won't. You go. Okay, right. You know. Yeah, I'm a bright one. I'm a bright star.
Oh dear. Oh, dear. Okay, we've got Leanne. Hi, Leanne. How are you today? Hello? Does it sound like she's snoring?
Sounds like that's a little piggy.
Do we try to wake her up? Oh, God. She's going to be devastated.
Maybe that's the one that we put to sleep.
No, she. Oh, dear. I'm just going to tippy-toe back. Okay, this is actually in archives, so. Oh, dear. Well, we'll come back and see if she wakes up in a little while.
I thought that was Is that not the one that
I'm sorry.
Oh, God bless her.
It's a good thing Chris wasn't here because she had a snore too, but my snore was much better. All right, let's try Margaret. Margaret, are you awake?
Yes, I am. Oh, bless that person who is able to have a nice little nap.
Sounds like there's a sinus problem there too, but we'll check back in and see how she is in a little while. But how can we help you?
Well, I recently just have started bringing forth some online classes, and I had, you know, good turnout for one and not a great turnout for the other, and I have a sense that I missed something, or that there may be some sort of block, and I can't get a beat on it. I can't get a read on it, what it might be. So I'm wondering if either of you two ladies could check into that and see what guidance tells you.
Okay, now you're teaching the online classes, right?
Yes.
And what are they in on?
Developing your intuition, also relieving stressors in your life, and they're shifting out old thought processes and fears where you get to re-author your new life and shift that back in.
Mm-hmm. Sound like good workshops. How did you advertise them?
On my radio show, I have two blog talk shows and also via Facebook, and I did a Facebook page boost and also a website boost through Facebook.
Sounds like you did everything I would have done. And did you go on other people's shows too and stuff like that?
No, I've just been on. Oh, no, I didn't. I just were on my two shows, two different networks on BTR.
Well, and what is your Blog Talk Radio show?
It is. I'm on the Be the Light Now network. It's Angelic Whispers.
Okay.
And also, I'm on the Psychic Viewpoint with Rosalia. I have Sunday night broadcasts.
Okay. You hit a very, very small portion of the audience you wanted to hit. I would say that you need to talk to Chris. Have you ever been on her show?
Yes, I have. Actually, she was the very first show I was ever on.
Cool. Geez, you know, it just feels here like it feels like you know your material, that you do a good workshop, that there's no problem with that. It's just that people aren't into taking the workshops these days. Now, were these free workshops or were they paid workshops?
They're paid.
Okay.
I do a lot of teaching, you know, on my shows. I do topics and meditations, free meditations on the shows, and I do the readings and everything, and I give away a lot. I love to do as much as I can for free, but, you know, we have to make a living, too.
Absolutely.
So, I do have these classes that I'm putting forward, so I don't know if it was something, if there was some sort of block that I had that
I'm
can't
not seeing,
get a read on.
No, I'm not seeing any block here at all. I don't see you have a block at all. It feels like this just isn't a time where people are taking and paying for workshops. The economy is just awful, and you'd probably do better going local and putting, you know, flyers up in churches and things like that and, you know, renting a room locally and starting that way. It feels to me like you just didn't have enough of an audience to draw from. And you know, I'm sure your numbers are great on your shows and stuff like that. But when it comes to local stuff, I would actually be doing the workshops locally so that you actually have physical contact with the people. People don't really do the online stuff. I mean, there is, and I forget the name of it. I'm so sorry and I apologize, but Solana has a school, and they teach workshops and stuff like that there. You might talk to Solana. Are you familiar with her?
I have spoken to her through the chat room on Chris's show, Curious Times, so somewhat familiar with her. I'm not able to get on Chris's show often because it is very late because I'm in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. So,
I know that feeling. I would talk
to Solana. That's actually how I found how I heard of you and have been following your show also.
Oh, cool. I would talk to Solana about becoming a part of her organization. Then they do the advertising and they get the people for you and you teach the workshops and you get paid through her. As an independent, I don't think this will work. You just need to have a far greater audience than you do or I do or Chris does or, you know, anything like that. So that if you had an organization, a group of people that were teaching workshops, you know, ergo, you know, creating your own school, so to speak, then it might work. But as just an independent, I'm not seeing it working here. And it's not that you don't know what you're doing, and it's not that you don't have great material, because you do. But I would be teaching it physically locally, do a classes in adult education, things like that. Those kinds of classes are now done in high schools all over the place here in the East. Where in the East are you?
Maine.
Okay, I'm in Connecticut. I think that you've got wonderful material. I'm going to say that over and over again. I from what I'm seeing, I'd put it in book form. I'd publish it in ebook form and then go out and market it as, you know, as something that you are selling, and talk it up that way, and then run workshops when your name is more out there and people are more familiar with you. It's a tough time out there economically. Have you done this before? Did you write?
No, I haven't done that before, but it, you know, my guys are at me. I'm supposed to be channeling a book, and they're at me, and I haven't actually sat down to begin the process. So it's just hilarious, you know, how they're bringing it up to you. It's like, come on.
Yeah, there's your block. There's your block. They want you to do the book before you do the workshops.
Okay.
Let's check with Jen. Jen, what are you seeing?
Well, what I'm seeing is that the workshops she has to do locally, and if there's a spiritualist church or something like that to go through with that, your online stuff is going to be really quite difficult to work with right now for whatever reasons. And I'm not sure why that is. It's like a veil, a block, a curtain, call it whatever you like. To me it's a term. If you've got a book coming out to be written, sit down and just get busy with that, because that is what you're supposed to be doing. You are an amazing intuitive. So you're supposed to be getting busy with that. Do you have a spiritualist church around you?
Yes, there is one. I did contact them because I was trying to... I had started a meetup group. There was not one in this area to discuss anything spiritual, metaphysical, you know, meditation or anything. So I started one, and then I had so many people join. I was trying to find a forum big enough to, you know, I had 30 members. So if all 30 people showed up, you know, you have to be prepared just in case. And so I approached them, and they were all excited about me being able to hold a group meeting there, but they're a nonprofit. And so there was some sort of discrepancy about me being able to pay for the room, for the usage of the room, and nobody's ever gotten back to me. I've contacted them twice. So I'm really thinking I need to do FaceTime, to go there and do FaceTime instead of trying to work over the phone.
So couldn't you go to your local, do you have a sports arena there, or a church, I'm just thinking a church or a sports arena, they rent rooms for a really nominal fee, a community hall, like a
library
or a guide hall, library, that will rent a room or donate a room and just, you know, a senior center even, and just for one afternoon or one evening or a couple of hours a week, and just say, I'm offering a meditation, whatever. This is what you're going to be doing, just to get light-minded people together and start it off that way. And ask for donations. Just put a box or a hat, get a spring bonnet, I don't care what you get, and just start it that way. And say, this is what we need to... have this room for this time. Most of the only cost, I don't know what they charge, maybe, you know, $40 for an hour or 2 hours, $15 an hour. I'm sure there's everybody can throw in a, well, up here it's called a toonie, $2 or, you know, $1.50. And, you know, if you've got 30 people, that's a dollar each. That's nothing to sit down and enjoy everybody's company. And someone just said, Vicky Lady said, when it gets nice outside, parks are great. That's exactly right.
Another place you might want to try are coffee houses, because they're always looking for groups of people to come in to have meetings so that they can sell their coffee. So that they usually let you come in for nothing, and then, you know, your group eats their weight and everything's fine.
That's right. That's true, but for that, and I was looking for something like that, something that, you know, that was a little more laid back, but also needing to provide a safe space. A lot of people don't like to talk openly in public about spirituality, things metaphysical and all that, but the issue is being here in Bangor, Maine, where I am, those arenas and forums are very, very limited. There is no coffee house here. There's not even a Starbucks here that you could go and sit in.
Okay, but there's got to be somewhere, right? Or you could just go from, you know, I've got quite a small place, but I'm more than willing to open my home up to whatever, and everybody can sit on pillows on the floor or bring your own pillow and blanket and do what you like. If everybody is willing, just start.
I am willing to open up my home. That I have no problem with that. And that was my next step.
So come on. You know,
And you know, once you get a book written, then you hit every craft show that is around, and you get yourself out in all of the local craft shows. And those tables are, they run, I don't know, anywhere from $25, $35 to $75 and up. But if all you're doing is sitting there and selling your book, you get your face out there. You get your name out there. And that's the important thing. That's the way to do it. Once you have a book, then you approach all of the Blog Talk hosts and you send them all a free copy of the book, and they all have you on your on their show, and you publicize it that way. When my book came out in 2011, I just, everybody who followed me on my Blog Talk show, I sent a note out to, and I said, I've just published a book. I would love to promote it. You know, could you help me? And a huge number of people wrote back and said, be happy to, and I sent them books, and I appeared on their shows. And the cool thing was, a lot of times, you know, they had me back because it was fun. And somebody in the chat room said, yeah, Robert from Byte Radio Me, he's a great show. I sent him a copy of my book, and I had a wonderful time on his show. And, you know, you need the book. I'm really sorry, but you need the book. then the classes will go.
Okay. Well, I don't have any problem with that. I know once I actually sit down and begin, the information will come very quickly, and I'm all prepared. I bought Dragon software, so I don't have to type it. All I have to do is speak.
You got it.
Yep. So it's just making the time to do that, so... Okay, well, thank you, ladies, so much for your insight and for your great ideas, and I will put much stock in it and use the information to move forward.
Okay, when you have a book, get back to me.
We'll do an interview show.
I just did a show last week with Nancy Janke, and 2 years prior I had told her she had to write a book, and when she got it written, to contact me, and she did, and we did a brilliant, she was phenomenal last Tuesday, so she has, you know, that show under her belt. So you get your book written, and I'll do an interview show with you in a heartbeat.
All right, well, thank you so much, and thank you both so much for all you do, and having your show and helping other people and everybody that needs our assistance, and for being there for them. So thank you for that.
Oh, it's really our pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Have a beautiful day. Bye-bye.
You too. Of course, there's no sun. Oh, and I'm sad to say our snorer has hung up.
Oh.
She must have woken up.
Oh.
I feel so bad for her. It's going to be even worse if she listens back to the show. Okay, we've got Joy here. Hi, Joy. How are you doing today?
Hi, Barbara. How are you? I'm great.
Oh, we're doing smashingly well. How can we help today?
Well, today's my day off. I'm in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I'm with my girlfriend, Carmela, my little buddy, and she just actually directed me to this phone call, so I've been sitting here listening to you, and I have a couple of questions to ask you.
Sure.
Hi, Jen. How are you, by the way?
I'm great. Thanks, Joy.
Okay. Well, we both live in a 1928 old mansion. It's an old manor. It's a beautiful estate. It's gorgeous. We have rooms that we rent out here, actually. It's not mine or Parmore, so we rent it out. And I've always been very coherent, very psychic since I've been little. And I feel entities here. And they're not bad. They're actually very good. I sometimes feel them trying to get my attention somehow. I feel very tired lately, very drained. I can't sleep sometimes either, so I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. They're, like, trying to get my attention somehow. So I don't know if I have, like, a past history here or if Parmla has. Maybe you can kind of tell me exactly what's going on or what we need to do. Yeah.
Well, your house sits on a vortex, which is why there's so much going on. And
I knew it. Barbara?
It's really, well, you must be psychic. It's a cool vortex. I don't know whether to call it a vortex or a portal, but they're one and the same, actually, as far as I'm concerned. I don't feel that there's any danger there. As a matter of fact, you feel very, very protected. So that you know, spirits coming and going is kind of cool. I'm not feeling anything negative at all. I don't think it's that what you've got there are people who lived in the house. You just have these kinds of portals are really cool. And it's sort of they're those areas where people come and go between other dimensions and this dimension. So,
right.
So you may get feelings from, you know, different time frames and things like that, because absolutely there are different ages that are represented by the people that are coming and going through that portal.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me a bit. What state are you in again?
We're in Salt Lake City. It's very sunny over here. Wish you were here, because I really don't have the sun over there right now.
No, it's never coming back. I know it's never coming back. I see a coach and four. I see horses and carriages coming and going. I see dogs and cats, and also you have a cat that's on a hearth. Do you have a stone fireplace there?
We do. We have four. So
okay, there's a cat that sits
stairway.
On. Okay, there's a
oh,
cat
go ahead,
that
I'm
sits
sorry.
On the large one in the living room, or the largest fireplace there. There's a cat that sits there and sat there for over 20 years when it was alive, and it just is not going to leave. It's just, it loves that hearth.
Okay, we're walking over here right now.
Okay, now.
Little Carmy and I.
it's a great hearth. It feels as though the hands that built it, you said 1928, right?
Yes, in 1928, we have a chandelier, all crystal, all these crystals, which I definitely believe in crystals, healing the body.
Oh, yeah.
And all the great stuff. I love diamonds and gems is what I'm trying to get into, is to be a diamond cutter. So.
Ooh. Yay. Well, the stones in the hearth came from another building that was on the property prior to it. Mm-hmm. And they are not necessarily indigenous to that area. So actually, the hands that built the hearth that originally put the stones on the property that then were used to build the hearth, stones were moved and utilized in a building that I want to call him a holy man. I don't want to call him a preacher because I don't believe he was a preacher, but it was a man.
There is a man here. I knew it. I felt
man
that
of God.
Presence.
Man of
yes.
God.
And he teases me sometimes.
Yeah, and this is not a serious Bible-thumping hellfire and damnation man. This is somebody that was almost like a saint. He has a wonderful, kind, generous, loving, he's got a twinkle in his eye energy. So
yes.
So very delighted that people that are there that are not frightened by some of the comings and goings that are going on there. You've got cool energy here. Now, what are you going to do with the house? Are you going to bed and breakfast it type stuff?
Well, that is so surprising. You have to see Parma's face right now, okay? She's lived here before I have. She's been here about a year. I moved in here in June. No, she's been here for 2 years, yeah. So I've been here since June, and we connected right away. She's like my little spirit, I guess, in another lifetime, I should say.
Okay.
She's my little buddy. So she wanted to actually buy this property and turn it into a bed and breakfast. Very, very cute little rooms, huge stairway that goes up right when you walk in, the grand entry room, yeah. And she doesn't know what she's going to do. Mm-hmm. She's a little, you know, puzzled at getting her own little place, or she should take over this place. She wants to know if her house is probably going to sell over in Seattle. She's had a lot of downfall this last year on that, but maybe you could just give us a little direction and it's a little
positive. Well, I would certainly, I'd talk and negotiate and see what, you know, about buying it, and if the people, if you know, you don't have the money for an out-and-out sale, make a deal with them that you fix it up and you run a bed and breakfast and they get a percentage of it. You know, that place belongs, a bed and breakfast, because, of course, the fact that you've got spirits there, you could advertise, and people always love to go to places that have, you know, that kind of energy.
That's a great idea.
The other thing that you might look to do is to, you have a couple of rather large rooms on the first floor,
yes.
Rent them out for meetings and things like that.
That's a great idea. You should see Parma's face right now. It's hilarious.
Well, because you've got the vortex, it's got a happy energy, and anybody
mm-hmm,
that
yeah.
has a meeting there for anything is gonna you know, everybody's gonna think, you know, it was a great meeting. The reality is, it's a great environment. So any kind of meeting you put there is gonna, you know, everybody's gonna come out with smiles. So you got a cool place there, and I would absolutely, you know. Call it the Vortex Inn or something. I mean, not that's ridiculous.
Gosh.
But you know, something like that, because yeah, no, I see you guys doing very, very well there.
Well,
and
that's great.
Let's get Jen into this. I'm sorry, Jen. What are you getting?
Oh, no worries. Actually, that's quite funny. You know, you've got past, future, present lives happening in that
right.
wonderful, wonderful place. I've seen a woman going up that staircase of yours in an old ball gown that's just an incredible,
yes.
incredible
I see
costume.
Her too. I
and
see her too, Jen.
Do you?
So,
oh, good. I'm glad she's
yeah,
dressing.
I do.
The dress is incredible.
I
and,
know. Gorgeous.
It's like it was used for slavery at one time, that
yes.
they put the slaves through and the underground railway. Was used for that, you know, getting them up and gone and moving them through, and that to me is just wonderful.
And she's a very strong soul, very strong soul, and I see her wearing pearls, big pearls. I don't know why, but I do.
I see the back of her going up the stairs, not the front. If I ask her to turn around, she is playing with a necklace. And
she has a bun.
Yep, she does.
A big bun in the back, like a beautiful loose bun.
Yes. And she has a little hanky. Anyhow, and you are going to have sleepless nights, she says, because you're fulfilling your prophecies. What's funny is when Barbara was talking about, when you were asking about the properties, she says, I pulled a card and it says, change your life now, an exciting new opportunity, career advancement. And I have to laugh at that because it's so appropriate. I also see part of the house or part, is there a barn or an older part of the house that has a porch, an older porch? And I guess
here.
Pillars.
Hey, Jen, sorry to interrupt you, sweetheart. Here's Parmala, honey. She's listening. We have you on speakerphone. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, hi, Jen.
Hi.
The ballroom in the basement used to be the horse carriage. And they turned that into three condos. And then this portion of the upstairs all the way up to the widow's walk is one unit, which is a condo number two. And it's 5,000 square feet by itself. So there definitely was a horse carriage along with the car garage for the older 1920s cars. Oh, I tell you, that's beautiful.
Okay,
wow.
So that's what I'm being shown. Now, is that sort of, it has to be sort of like an add-on. I wish I could. So, and I see the sun, it's like a UFO kind of thing over top, shining down on everything that you're in, like the energy is immense. Okay. So your place in Seattle. How long has it been for sale? Who has a house in Seattle? Hello?
Where'd they go?
I'm right here.
Yeah, but where'd they go?
You're here or not?
Nope, I think we lost them.
Oh,
don't know how we lost
dropped.
Them.
Isn't that funny?
That's wild.
That is wild. Well, they're going to be selling that place, I'd say, within the next 6 months.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I'd love to see this place.
I would, too, because it is like everything that... every kind of energy just meets and greets and beats there. Wow.
Yeah. Cool place. This was a house full of love and joy and celebration, and it's still there. There's still a party going on.
I'll say there's a party going on. I'm so cold right now. My nose is running. And I've got a bit of fun today, and that's an incredible. I just love that. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, me too. Okay, let's try Leanne. Hi, Leanne, are you there?
Yeah.
Leanne, do you know what happened?
I fell asleep.
Yes, and I apologize so much, but we listened to you snore for a while. If anybody asks, you know, if you snore, you've got a couple hundred people that can attest to it that you do.
But you know what? You had a good nap, and that's all that counts.
Oh, I mean, it was a good sleep for sure. So,
oh yeah,
I've
been up since 3.
So how can we help?
I was just wondering if there was any messages for me.
Aside messages from getting enough rest. You know, I see you as coming into a very balanced time here. It feels like you've been out of balance for a long time, and that there is coming into you reality here, probably by the May June timeframe, a new balance where you're going to feel a greater harmony inside of yourself, and your energy is coming back. You've been kind of down and low on the energy for a while, right?
Yeah.
It just feels like your energy is coming back. You're finally getting your energy back, and as that happens, over the summer there's travel. It feels like there are a lot of new beginnings going on here. I would say that if I had to, spirit is basically telling me that you're coming out of the closet. Now that doesn't mean, it's not a sexual connotation, but you're coming out of hiding. And that you're coming into the light, and that you're going to feel the warmth of the love of not only the universe but people around you, and that it's almost like you're coming into a whole new world because things are going to open for you, they're going to fall into place for you. It feels as though it's sort of like, you're going to say to somebody at some point in time, don't wake me up because if this is a dream, I want to stay here forever. Things are going to get much, much better for you. It looks like it's a very, very good time you're coming into. And, of course, you've paid the dues for it. I mean, you've got the scars and all of that stuff. You've definitely worked hard for it. Universe doesn't want you to lose patience. Is your mother's mother in spirit? I have a grandmother here on your mother's side.
Yeah.
She's around you a lot. I'm smelling bread cooking.
Yes.
And it's not because I'm hungry. I smell bread cooking. She has a very calming energy, and she wants you to just breathe, take it easy, and breathe. When you get upset, you sort of hyperventilate a little bit.
When I get really upset, yeah.
Okay. She wants you to breathe. She wants you to just take a good deep breath every time that you feel that coming on. And I'm not seeing any trauma. I'm not seeing any major difficulties at all over the next year. It feels as though it's all opening up for you, and that there are opportunities that you never saw that are going to open to you, that are going to change your life radically. Jen, what are you getting?
This is going to sound really odd. I don't know if you've listened to me before or not, but I often taste things. So I'm going to ask you, do you cook or know of someone who cooked? Did your grandmother or great-grandmother cook?
Yeah.
She did, because I get one pot cooking. Did she cook stew? Did she have a heavy hand with the pepper?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, because she's coming in very strong with the pepper and with a stew or a goulash or like a one-pot meal. Do you know what that means? Okay, so it's definitely her. And I'm getting a smell of like a gas or a propane. Did she cook with natural gas or propane?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. It is her then. So she comes in with an open flame. And so that's a flame of love and flame of her heart. She's also telling me that you're going to be sitting around a table, and she's showing me that you're sitting around a table with family and friends this year. So I don't know whether you have been doing that lately or have been avoiding them, but you're going to be doing that a lot lately or coming up. Sorry, coming up. You're going to be moving into a time where you're going to be celebrating with family and friends more than you have been.
Okay.
And I want to know if pepper and chili and lime mean anything to you.
Chili? My dad really liked chili.
Is he passed?
Yeah.
Okay, this is for you then. He came through earlier, and it was just at the first call where we didn't connect with you. And what did he drink? What was his drinks? Like a Bloody Mary? I don't know drinks, but it was like...
He was an alcoholic.
Okay, thank you very much. That's him. He came through to tell you that he loves you and that he does watch over you.
Oh,
okay,
good.
But he came through with, I think it's called a Caesar. I'm not good with drinks. a Caesar.
Okay, I was a barmaid, and Caesar. Okay, it could be a new one. I don't know.
It's got Clamato juice. It's got Clamato juice. It's got Tabasco, vodka, and salt and pepper around the rim of the glass, celery, a bean stalk, or...
That's a Bloody Mary with clam tomato juice.
That's a Bloody Mary. Okay. There you go. I put it in the freezer. I don't know my drinks. So, okay. There you go. That's what he came through with. And that's what I wrote down earlier for you, Leanne. So he's been around you, and he is with you. So
okay.
So him and your great grandmother came through.
Okay, I do have a question. Am I going to end up having to have surgery?
Surgery. Do you have a stomach problem?
Or what?
Foot. I'm trying to just scan your body.
They did an MRI of my back, and then I have to have an ultrasound done on Friday.
Of your back. Was there a car accident?
No.
I'm sorry, I don't get anything. I'm not tuning into anything. I'm very sorry.
What I'm getting is that I don't know if you're going to need surgery or not, but what they're saying is make sure that whatever is suggested, you get a second opinion.
Okay.
Okay?
Because am I going to have any more kids? Or are they going to take it? Am I done?
I really don't know. So I guess that hasn't actually been decided yet.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Blessings to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, I learned something from... I worked the New York Renaissance for 8 years, and one of the readers there, I got a reading from her once, and I asked her a question, and she said, I asked a question, and she looked at the cards, and she looked at me, and she looked at the cards, and she looked at me, and she said, I really don't know. And when she said that to me, it was like I was so impressed that she was comfortable enough with her gift that she could say, I don't know. And it taught me that saying I don't know is an okay answer from an intuit. It's okay to say I don't know. Matter of fact, it gives you greater validity, I think. There are lots of people that'll try to figure out an answer, but if you don't know and you don't, then you don't know. So
I can't guess. I'm not going to say something that I don't really feel comfortable with, and you get stomach and foot, and you get this and that, and it's. I don't know.
I didn't get anything either. I really, I drew a blank as well. Okay, let's see if we can do something for Donna here. Hi, Donna. How are you doing today?
Hi. Good, thanks.
How can we help?
I'm just gonna leave it open and see what might come up.
What I think it's time for, and
what?
I just love these. You know exactly, Barbara. How much time do we have?
Enough.
I adore these, and I'm practicing, so I want to listen to Barbara do one of her Let It Rips.
Because okay.
Are you in for that, Donna?
Oh, it doesn't hurt you at all, I promise. this is going to be a year in which you do a lot of thinking, a lot of introspective work, a lot of working on understanding the answers that you've gotten and applying them to yourself internally in your spiritual journey, and a lot of new directions that you're going in. I would say that spirituality is going to be a focus. It does feel as though for the next year you're working as well on your spirituality, how to manifest it, how to use the gifts and talents that you brought into this lifetime, and how to move into new directions, because it feels as though you're beginning to feel claustrophobic in your box. You want to go outside of the box. You want to experience new things and do new things and stretch yourself. And going back to school might just help in some ways, just little workshops and things like that, not necessarily a full-range program unless, of course, that does draw you, and then I would say go for it. There's a sense here of also, as you hit the May time frame, of putting things in order, of being able to take a look at the next 6 months and understand what things need to be done and what loose ends have to be tied up, what plans have to be made, and what things have to be gathered in order for you to have the greatest fulfillment of the promises that you've made to yourself. By the time you get to June, there's a new foundation for your life, your reality. You've created a very sound foundation here. It feels as though you have been constructing and working on constructing a new foundation from which you're going to grow and shift and change and evolve over the next probably 10 years, 15 years. It feels as though you have new direction. You have new perception. You're looking at life differently. You're looking at people differently, and you're understanding that you are driven and you don't know where you want to go or have to go. And that's a spiritual calling. It's going to take you a while to figure out exactly what spirit wants you to do. But as you wait for the direction to come, as you wait for the insight and the understanding of what you need to do this lifetime, you're going to find that there are lots of gifts and talents that you brought from lifetimes past, the intuition for one, and there's a sense of healing too. Your hands are healing hands, so that you may want to explore some sort of energy work to help to open the channels for that energy to flow through you. I'm not saying you're going to become a full-blown New Ager who's out there crazy or anything, but I am saying that you're going to understand you have greater power than you have ever anticipated before, and that means that you have the ability to take your life in directions that are richer and juicier and more fun. And it does feel as though you're starting off on that particular journey as you get into the June time frame. July has your intuition being really rich and intensive, and you're going to find that you're going to be able to trust your gut far more than you have in the past. You've always had these little these feelings, these little hunches and things like that, never acted on them and then regretted it in the end. And so long as you're not putting the family fortune on one toss of the dice, I think you should follow your hunches and see where they take you, especially when it comes to people. There's a new balance in you as you get into the August time frame. There's an amazing better understanding of the harmony and the connection you have with the Earth Mother and with a lot of the other energies around you. You are more sensitive to the environment, so you're going to find that probably allergies and even some foods don't agree with you anymore. But you're also going to be drawn into more holistic approaches to a lot of your reality. You're going to look at the healing qualities of herbs and of flowers and even you're going to do one of those workshops most probably, especially as you come into the September time frame of grazing your way through your backyard, learning what is edible and what is not edible and what can be used for cooking and things like that. You're coming and you're being drawn more and more into a synchronicity with nature and the rhythm of nature, and it is definitely enriching you greatly. You have many past lives in which you grew herbs and you grew and you made elixirs and potions and things like that for people that would help them to heal from colds and from flu and things like that. You've always when you've been working with holistic things, natural things, you've been loved and cherished and taken care of by the people who were around you, whether it be in the Alps, whether it be in Great Britain probably about 800 years ago, or in the Pacific Northwest probably 500 or 600 years ago. You've always had a feeling and a knowing that was profound, and you haven't been able to explain it, but you're going to become more and more acquainted with that ability and more comfortable with it and allowing it to manifest. As you get into October, there's a sense of understanding a lot of the challenges that you've put yourself through, certainly overcoming and understanding that a lot of the difficulties you've been through in your life up to this point in time have really made you a stronger, richer, emotionally person and enable you to reach out and touch other people in a very new and unusual way. November has harmony of spirit, the creative and the healing energy is weaving their way throughout your entire reality. It's almost as though the universe is singing and dancing, and you're caught up in that cosmic dance of understanding and light and the evolution and understanding of the other dimensions and where we're going and what we have connection to and how to sort of create vortexes and reach into them for information and dipping into yourself. Those records that you have stored within yourself that have come through time and utilizing that wisdom to make your reality and the people around you far richer in joy and understanding and wisdom. December is a time where you're letting go of a lot of the emotional things that you've been carrying that you don't need anymore. You're letting go of a few people that just don't enrich you as you would like to be. You're not ending friendships. You're merely drifting away from some people. But as that happens, more come in that have a greater richness to share with you as well. January is a time where you are transforming yourself. You're moving into a new aspect of life. You're even possibly changing career. And as this happens, you roll your sleeves up, and all of February is just working very, very hard. Not because there's a need, but because this is a time where you are finally in sync with nature, energy, and the universe, and things flow through you beautifully. It does feel as though there's writing here of some sort, and you may find yourself writing at least one book, possibly as many as five. As you get into March, there's a sense here of expanding your intellect, reaching and growing into new aspects of yourself, and finding there is a greater richness within you than you ever imagined. It does change your life profoundly, and it opens you to a greater potential for the future than ever you could have imagined. Okay?
Wow, that sounds really good. It sounds like, it pertains to me, especially, you know, the nature and healing and all that. Yeah, for sure.
That's a letter rip.
Yeah, that's a good one. It sounded worse than what it was.
You want to add anything, Jen?
I don't think there's much anyone can add to one of your
right.
letters, Barbara.
Wow.
It is fantastic. It is just all-encompassing and wonderful. And all I got for Donna was that, you know, there's going to be traveling. She's going to have the space she needs, and she's going to find total peace within, which is, I think, more than any of us can ask for or what we all want and desire. And it's what she's going to be getting in this coming year. And validation for what you've just done with your letter rep, and you know,
great.
That's
cool
just
stuff.
Great.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Oh.
God bless.
Thanks
you.
For calling, and thanks for
Thank
waiting.
You. No problem.
Bye-bye.
I enjoy it. Thank you so much. Bye now.
Bye bye. I'm not really sure where those letter rips started, but they, you know. They are interesting for sure.
They are wonderful. I just adore them. And I think everybody anticipates you doing, you know, one or two of them throughout the show because it's just so enlightening. It's so fun. And they're accurate. And they're all enveloping. It's fascinating.
I do, you know, and they are cool. I mean, I will admit to that. But I remember why they started. People kept interrupting me as I was reading. And so I finally said one day, listen, just let me let it rip, and then you can ask your question. And it stopped them from interrupting me when I was trying to do the reading. So, you know, if I talked fast enough and loud enough, they wouldn't be able to say yes and da-da-da, you know, and give me the story of their life so that it prevented them from giving me too much information, too. So it was really cool. Okay, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's part of it, is that when you've got information, you want to get it out and have it done. So that's wonderful.
Well, and a lot of times people call with a question that seems to be foremost in their mind, and yet that's not really what Spirit wants them to hear. So, you know, we've got Vicki here. Let's try to squeeze Vicki in here. Hi, Vicki. How are you doing today?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Our pleasure. How can we help?
Thank you. Just see what Spirit has for me.
Okay, Jen, you go first.
Okay, Vicki. Just see what Spirit has for you.
Yeah, I have a lot going on, so whatever comes to the forefront, I will accept it.
Whatever comes to the forefront, you'll accept it.
Whatever Spirit wants me to know, put it that way.
Whatever Spirit wants you to know. You've got a lot on your mind lately, Vicki. You've been a very busy lady. I said you've got a lot on your mind lately, Vicki. You've been a very busy lady.
True.
And it's like you're a babbling brook. You bring a lot of sunshine and light to other people's lives. You continually run forth with good intentions, with good vibes, with good feelings. And you don't leave enough for yourself. And you're being told to slow down a tiny bit, and you're finding that more than difficult at this time in your life, and I'm not sure why. I'm seeing some really clear stepping stones that you can choose a different path, but you're not doing it. And you know what? It's not going to take you off in a direction you don't want. It's going to take you off in a really good direction, and it's going to be really brightly lit for you to see, and you're going to be going with everybody that you want to be with. So that's really good. I also get that there's going to be five or six people with you.
Okay.
And five or six people with you. And there's more in spirit. They're laughing at me. The person that's with me in spirit that's talking to me right now is an older, well, you've got two. One's an older man, and he's in a suit, and he wears a white shirt, and he's got a cane. And does that make any sense to you, please?
Don't know who that is. No, I don't.
Okay. Well, he wears a white shirt, he's got his sleeves rolled up, and he has a cane. I think it's a cane. No, he's holding on to the back of a chair, actually. It's like he was, he works with numbers. It was like he was an accountant or something, an office worker. And that's who's coming through for you and telling me all this stuff.
Okay.
Don't know who he is. His name's Herbert or something. Herbert. Begins with an H.
Jen, I think you've got a past life.
Do I really?
I think you've got a past life, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know any Herbert.
It feels like that that was you in a past life probably about 300 years ago. And... okay for me to go, Jen?
Oh, yeah, go on. Please.
Okay, this guy was a gambler. And he was a very good gambler. He didn't cheat. He was a very lucky person. And
can he pass them on to me?
But I am saying that you're in a place. You're in a place in your life now where it feels like you're gambling. And it feels to me as though the gambles that you are making have good stable foundations. They aren't as chancy as you think they are. And this man, you know, he was a great gambler. He really was. He was great at cards. And you have a quality of that in you, that there is a risk-taking quality that is here. You really calculate things well. And you know that fools rush in where angels feel to tread? Fools and gamblers. I do see you taking some gambles, especially over the summertime, that are going to pay off. Just don't get greedy. That's the one thing I'm hearing from him. It's really funny. Know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away.
Know when to hold them, yeah.
Okay. Basically, that music is going through my head. Ray Booker is here, or was here, because he's the only one that would have put that kind of song into my head. And it does feel to me there's money coming in above and beyond what you anticipate in the August time frame. As you get to September, here's a time where you're going to sit and you're going to really contemplate the new directions you want to take, because there are new directions after the month of September. I would say also this month is horrendously busy. Please take your vitamins.
Yeah, and you know the thing about it is I've been out of work for a while. I'm just going to keep it brief. And I finally got a job, and I went in there, and the energy is, I mean, the great people, but the energy is just so heavy, and so it's just not me. And then I feel that I'm not being grateful, because, you know, there's so many people out there without a job, and here it is, I have a job, and I'm just, like, complaining about energy. But I just feel so, like, I don't want to be there. Does that make sense?
Yes, and it's only a stepping stone. So don't form too much. It's only a stepping stone. By October, you're going to be moving into a different job. So just, you know, look at it as a stepping stone. Don't squirm so much.
And I keep telling myself that. I keep telling myself that, you know, this is whatever it is to get me to where I need to be. And I have to just keep reminding myself. I'm sitting at my desk, and I'm sitting in my cube, and this is stepping stone. This is just to take me where I really want to go or really need to be. So, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you need to do a vision board so that you have...
Okay.
You need to be able to see where you want to go. You need to be able to see to beyond where you are right now. And once you have a vision board where you have new directions on it, then what you're looking at is not only reinforcing the fact that you're going to move on, but letting the universe know that you want to move on.
Right, and I've been saying that. That's been my intention. I've been doing that. You know, it's like the first thing in the morning before I go to bed, throughout the day, and I am saying that. But, you know, the mind sometimes tries to take you to that negative place, and I have to pull myself back.
Yeah, don't go there. Okay?
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. I know, and I know that, too. I know. No, to stay away from that avenue. So thank
Absolutely.
You so much. You're right on point. Thank you so much. Do you have a website?
Yeah, it's BarbaraDeLong.com. And Jen will have one soon, too.
I will.
DeLong?
Yep.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Jen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, Jen, I want to thank you. I want to thank Deb for doing all of the screening for me and everybody who has sat so patiently and waited. And if we didn't get to you, please come tomorrow and get your spirit song written by Cynthia
that
Jordan.
Be exciting.
Oh, and Thursday night on Curious Times, Jen Young is going to be there. I mean, every night is an adventure with Chris, but it'll be special, more special on Thursday night because Jen will be there. And do visit her then. And so we look for, and I'll be back on Wednesday this time with James, who is also an amazing man. So thank you for staying. Thank you for coming. And Jen, thank you so much. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to put you in the green room. So just stay there, okay?
I will for sure. Thank you so much, Barbara. And thank you to everybody that listened in. It was wonderful again.
Cool. Okay. Let me see here. Oh, Deb's helping me, obviously. Thanks again, and I'll be seeing you guys tomorrow, probably, hopefully.